Traditionally, that gospel has always been attached to language like we need to be silent and still to hear God and to be in his presence. We should not be distracting ourselves by doing so many other things. And it's a bit of a complex competition there, especially in a world like you and I live in now, where time seems to dictate everything in our lives. I think that's a very shallow understanding of the scriptures, and in order to get a deeper understanding, we look at the whole context of what the scriptures are saying. Certainly there is the element of hospitality there, particularly with the first reading, with the three angels or the three men that we're told about there, and then what Abraham and Sarah do to entertain them, exercising hospitality. And of course, we have Martha and Mary exercising hospitality in the gospel. Now, that's one part of it. But I think if we dig a little deeper, and we particularly use the gospel, we'll find that St. Luke, in putting the gospel together in that place, has a strategy that might help us here today and beyond, hopefully. So last week, you will remember that we had the great story of the Good Samaritan, where the man was beaten up and it was a foreigner, in fact almost an enemy, who came by and supported him. Yet the first person that went past was the priest, the prayer, but he didn't do any of that stuff. And today we see Mary as the prayer and we see Martha as the one doing stuff. And the one who did stuff last week was the Good Samaritan, the action, I'll call that. So those who could and should have prayed didn't even do that, and they didn't even act last week. So the two parts that get highlighted in the gospel is action is one thing. So we've got Martha, and she's doing a good thing. She's exercising hospitality. And then we've got what I'm going to call contemplation in a spiritual sense. So we've got Mary, who symbolises, and she physically is, sitting there listening to Jesus. Now, in this story, there are elements that arise that don't make a lot of sense culturally. So on one level, it's okay to say, yes, we see we need to exercise action. Then other times we need to exercise contemplation, the stillness. That is certainly true. But the things that don't ring true culturally are, firstly, Mary is sitting at the feet of Jesus. Well, let's go back a little bit even further. A woman named Martha invites Jesus into her house. It would be extremely rare for a woman in Jesus' time at that part of the world to own a house. Extremely rare. I'm not saying it's impossible, but it would be most unlikely. So she is there inviting him into her house. And then we have Mary sitting at Jesus' feet, as we've said. Women were not allowed to study or to read the Torah, the books of Moses. They were educated in how to live the Torah, but they weren't allowed the opportunity to study it. And yet here today we have this woman who is sitting there listening to the teaching of Jesus, being invited into Holy Scripture through the mouth of God, Jesus himself. And then we have Martha coming back, and Martha telling Jesus, like a five-year-old, tell her to help me. Martha is trying to tell God what to do. And that's very much like a lot of us at times. So Martha is so distracted, we're told here today, that she has completely forgotten who is in front of her. Now, does she realise that at this stage? I don't know. But it would be an unfolding. There are no men mentioned in that story, no men in the house. None of Jesus' disciples if they were there, we don't know about it. It would be culturally wrong and cause of great angst if a man was in a guest's house, a female's house, or even in her presence, without her family being present. So here we have Jesus very comfortable at home, and these two women are there. That would be, I'm going to say, not the done thing. It's just not the norm. So why has Luke done this? So he's got this activity happening with Martha and Mary. Last week we had the activity happening with the Good Samaritan. So I now then go and look at Scripture. What happens next? And what happens next, what you're going to hear next weekend, is Jesus teaching the disciples to pray. The contemplation. So smack bang in the middle of giving them the Lord's Prayer and then showing them the action that is needed at times, smack bang in the middle we have these two women, these dynamic women, doing exactly what the Good Samaritan did, and one doing exactly what Jesus is going to teach everybody next week with our universal prayer, of the Lord's Prayer. So there must have been something going on in Luke's community at that time that particularly involved women. And one of the theories is that the fact that Jesus had broken down many of the cultural barriers, highlighted by the fact that he's in women's presence and he's not family. He had broken down many of the cultural barriers, and women were being encouraged, in a sense, to come forward and to do more than serve, to be more than just domestic servants. And that may have been the issue. And it seems to me that at this particular time that the Holy Spirit in our very own church is doing the same thing. It seems to me that the church is being stirred at this moment to look at the role of women, as was happening in Luke's community at that time. You've got the action and you've got the contemplation, and the two are being stirred up together. And next week we'll get an emphasis on prayer, more of the contemplation. Some of you may or may not be aware that last week Pope Francis appointed three women to a dicastery in Rome, in the Roman Curia. A dicastery is a committee, and it has been led, the committees, the various dicasteries, have been led by cardinals of the church. And now he has brought forward three women into the dicastery that gives to the Holy Father the names of those who should be appointed as bishops. Now, if that's not stirring the pot, I don't know what is. Some will be encouraged by that, others will be discouraged by that. But that's what the Holy Spirit does. The Holy Spirit stirs it all up and brings forward something. And there's a very dynamic thing happening through Pope Francis at the moment that is really stirring the church up. And at the moment, and in the light of the plenary council, I don't think it's a coincidence that the hot topic issue of the role of women in leadership and governance in the church is now on the front page. I think that's a wonderful thing. It was an issue in Luke's community, obviously, and it's an issue for us now. And we should feel encouraged, not threatened at all, that at last we are trying to get, or Pope Francis is leading the church into getting the balance right, the balance between action and contemplation. He's doing his bit to get that right. He's trying to get the church to refocus. And that's what we need to do, is to maintain a focus that is firstly on the Lord, not to get distracted by the things that we think we must be doing all the time and who must do them, and not to lock ourselves away, but to bring ourselves forward to sit at the feet of the Lord, to listen and to act. And today we're given the example of women doing that, as they strived to do in the early church and are striving to do today. So our plenary council, with the hot topic of the role of women in leadership and governance in the church, seems to me the timing of this gospel is spot on. It's really casting a light on the way that the church administers the presence of Jesus, both in action and in contemplation. So it is timely, in my view, that now we see those two things being brought together. But Jesus says to Martha when she's complaining there, she goes, you fret and you worry about so many things. Go back to the first reading. You've got Abraham there, and he and Sarah are not young anymore, and they don't have a son. So he and Sarah, they entertain these three guests. And the three guests are traditionally understood as God, these angels. But if you read the story, you'll see that four times at least we hear Abraham being said, he hurries to them. He hurried off and got a cup. He told Sarah to hurry and make the meal for them. And then he quickly brought the meal back. Everything was frantic for Abraham. And then he sat back and he observed the meeting. And then they were blessed with the news that they were going to have a child next year. So in that story, you have so much activity from Abraham and very little contemplation. And in the gospel, you have some activity from Martha and a lot of contemplation, it seems, from Mary. It is for us, I think, the time to get the balance right, to bring ourselves back and focus on, as Jesus says in the next lines, after he has said to her, you fret and worry about so many things, and yet few things are needed. Indeed, he says, only one. So I ask you this morning as I contemplate myself, what is the one thing necessary in your life and in mine and in our church? What is the one thing that is necessary to get the balance right, to get ourselves refocused on bringing action and contemplation together so that the highlight, the spotlight, the energy goes to and comes from Jesus himself? We don't need to fret and worry, we're told. There's a beautiful line, perhaps that's the solution to everything, comes from the book of Ecclesiastes. In chapter 3, the very first line, he says, for everything there is a time. Under heavens there is a time for every season. Things will fall into place in time. But if we get ourselves so sidelined by the busyness, then we are going to miss picking up the presence of God in our life here and now, which stills us and which stirs us. It's what God does. It's not all sitting and kneeling at the feet. It's not all busying ourselves. It is a mixture of both. So we need to find in ourselves today, what is the one thing that is necessary to help us do that? What is that one thing?